This week's mailbag comes to us from Monique, and this is part one. I have an imaginary friend named Lisa. She's been real to me for a long time, but because my family hasn't met her, this is what they refer to her as. My son has a Saturday cleaning checklist, which initially he was protesting, but I said, don't blame me, blame Lisa. She told me it was a good idea. 2 weeks in with his checklist, and I think he agrees it is easier to do the checklist than me asking him 20 questions if it's been done. No arguments from him either, as it's his area, which includes his own bathroom and toilet, and he knows that I'll charge him for my cleaning services to do it. My hubby asked for a renewal document late one night. I was in bed already, probably watching or listening to Lisa. I told him to go to the Sunday basket, grab the green slash pocket, turn it to the rear side as it wasn't due for paying that week. Bingo, there it was. He was impressed, and I had remained calm and relaxed with no need to rush out and rummage for this document as I would have previously done. I told him to thank my friend Lisa. My son last weekend had to do an ironing stack. When he complained, I told him to blame Lisa for this. I said, you'll thank her next Thursday night when you're tired and it's the last thing you feel like doing. When it came to Thursday night, I reminded him how good it was to not have to do this task, and it was thanks to Lisa that it was complete. He went for a walk with me instead, and he was grateful to Lisa's wisdom, and then this Saturday, he happily ironed the uniform as the lesson had been learned, winning with Lisa. Then on Mother's Day, we had a late invite to join friends at a golf driving range, but I was on food for supper at church at 5 p.m. It was now 3 p.m. and had planned to cook something for church. However, it was such a beautiful sunny day, and I knew what Lisa would do. She wouldn't cook. I rummaged in my freezer, and I pulled out an emergency savory tart, defrosted it, and packed our previously organized car, and off we went to golf. We had everything we needed to go straight to church. This step, too, is a process improvement that I've learned from Lisa. My planning has increased my productivity, but particularly on this occasion being a Sunday and because it was also Mother's Day, a boundary improvement. I chose to do this because Lisa had told me the night before that she chose not to cook to free up her time to concentrate on her business. I was choosing on this special day to focus on my enjoyment and time with my son, who is adopted. See, Lisa and I have many things in common. And that's just another reason why we are friends.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I am so excited to end this teaching series with the next two podcasts. You know, I have a unique lens when I talk to you about organizing your home because I have been a primary stay-at-home mom for 20 years, and I understand how the home changed over those different seasons with my own kids and raising my kids and doing almost all of the houseworking in my younger years. I also have organized hundreds of homes in Cincinnati, and I have seen how those homes have run. And now, as the owner of a company that employs a dozen employees, I understand growing a company from an idea in my head to someplace that people actually go to work and have healthcare and 401k and all of these things. And with my training in college as a teacher and having taught every grade from 3-year-old to 8th graders, I have seen how classrooms run. And just recently, I realized that I understand organizing at a different level because there are strengths in each of those areas. There are things that classrooms and teachers do that create organization that are different than the organization that you create at home and different than the organization that you create in a workplace. But if we could take the best of all three and put them together, then you can achieve organizational balance in your personal, your home, and your work life. So in these two podcasts, I want to share what I have learned and observed as a teacher and a student to help you see your home differently, and you can extrapolate it to your work environment as well. So in this podcast, I want you to be selfish, and I want you to just think about you. And you may already know what your learning style is, or you may not. I'm going to go through the four learning styles that there are. We all have a little bit of every four, but there's one that we tend to gravitate to more, especially if we're learning something new. So I'll go through those four learning styles. Then I'll explain how the Organize 365 products work for each of those learning styles, because as a teacher, I created the systems to all work for whatever learning style you have, and then how you could take that further. So let's talk first about the four learning styles. When I say them, you might already know which one you are, so you know what's coming. The first one I have on here is an audio learner. I am an audio learner. You're listening to an audio podcast, so you might be an audio learner. I'm like, why wouldn't people listen to podcasts? Well, some people, they do not learn through listening. Like, they need to be able to see something or do something that it's too passive for them and they do not learn that way. I love to listen. I listen all the time. I think it's why I wake up in the middle of the night for the slightest little noise. So I run a fan in my bedroom like I'm in the middle of an airplane so I could sleep through the night. Like, I am so auditory. I cannot not hear a conversation that's going on around me. I cannot tune those things out. So I'm an audio learner. The second one is kinesthetic. This is where you learn best by doing things, like doing the science experiment, getting in there and trying to organize the space and then going back and listening to me or watching the video. Like, you need to see what is it you're organizing before you can even watch a video or listen to how to organize that space. The third kind is a visual learner. This is someone who learns best by seeing a picture, seeing a diagram, seeing a video. Like, if you love YouTube, you are probably a visual learner. And then there's reading and writing. People who read books and take notes and highlight books and write in the margins and rewrite their notes over and over and over again. And what's interesting is I am all of these people, and you are probably all of these people too. But there's one that, like, is your natural go-to, and then you tuck the other ones in there. I also have no scientific evidence for this, but it's just my observation. When you are a lifelong learner, I mean, I love learning. I have always loved learning. I was not a great student in my grades. I had A's, mostly B's, and a floating C that drove my mom crazy because it always changed what subject it was in. But I always understood the content that was being presented to me because I loved learning. Just wasn't really good with the detail part. And when I was 16, they found out I was dyslexic. That's why my spelling has always been atrocious. Like, you could put an I and an E in any or every word that I read, and I just don't even see them. They could dance around in there. They could do flip-flops. It doesn't matter. I just don't see those vowels at all. I don't know why. And I skim things, and then I don't always have good reading comprehension. But if I'm listening, I can remember a lot of things. And there are pluses and minuses to that. A big minus currently where I am in my career is that I know that I've heard things before and I could share them with you, but I don't remember where I heard them or whose quote it was. So, you know, I just don't have that skill. So when I looked up learning styles in order to do this, auditory was the first. That is my preferred learning style, and you're listening to a podcast. So we're going to start with the audio learning style. In Organize 365, podcasts are a great way to learn, to change your mindset, to get intrigued, and understand how to organize a space. I purposely picked podcasts as the number one mode of teaching the skill of organizing in my business for two reasons. Number one, I'm an atrocious speller. And so I had a blog and I had an editor and I was doing the best I could, but it was taking me so long to write things, I could get out things so much faster if I did them in a podcast. So that was number one. I prefer audio over writing because of my spelling. But also, I now know an audio learner also processes through speaking. And I know that I always process information through speaking. I can have an idea in my head, and then I share it with someone, and then I share it with someone else, and then I share it with you on the podcast. And every time I share my idea, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer in my head, and then I'm ready to take action. So I have to hear an idea, then I have to verbally process it with other people, and then I take action. So if you're an audio learner, you might do the same thing. So in Organize 365, listening to the podcast would be step one. If you're an audio learner like I am, you might listen to TV. So I almost never watch TV. I'm always doing a puzzle, folding laundry, doing whatever. And Greg is watching the TV show next to me. I haven't looked at the TV show the entire time. And Greg will say, who's this guy? I'm like, oh, he's the one that did da 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 da. But I'm not looking at the screen. Then at some point, I'll look up, I'll go, who's that? And he goes, it's the main character, because I have not been watching the TV at all. So if you find yourself doing other things while people are talking, you're probably an audio listener. So inside of the program, when you're doing the Sunday Basket Productive Home Solution Workbox, when you have one of those pieces of the part, you're going to have the podcast to listen to. You can listen to the videos that are there instead of watching them. You don't need to watch them. And then inside of the community app, that's where you then would talk to the other people that are doing the same thing that you're doing in the Sunday Basket, in the Friday Workbox, in the Productive Home Solution. And that typing talking is helping you process through this audio idea that you have before you go in and actually do the work inside of your home. Also, if you're an audio listener, you probably re-listen to podcasts or you re-listen to videos before you're ready to start that activity again. One of the things that I have done that really is helpful and a suggestion for people who are audio and speaking learners is to take notes after you listen to a podcast or an audiobook or a documentary that you really want to retain the information. Take the important takeaways and write them in some kind of a planner. I started doing this a couple of years ago. I listened to so much content, like usually 2 books a week and 10 podcasts, and then just constantly. There's something in my ear all the time. And when I listened to a podcast that really, I was like, wow, I hadn't thought about that before that way. I often will wait a couple days, sometimes a month, and then I'll re-listen to that podcast again because I always get so much more out of it the second time. And then I will take notes in this little planner I have. I have a little planner, a little journal that I use once a year. I do it in our Organize 365 planners, and then I transfer it into a journal that I keep year after year. It's a new thing that I'm doing. Because I'm an audio learner, and I told you that I record podcasts because my spelling is atrocious, the second reason why I prefer to grow Organize 365 through the audio podcast lens is because there is no picture to see. Like, I love that there's no picture, because when there is no picture and that is stripped away, the words are stripped away and all you can hear is the audio of my voice, your brain is then able to create its own picture. So when I'm talking about organizing my kitchen or organizing my closet or how I organize my day, you are not looking at my calendar or my kitchen or my closet. You in your head are shown a picture of your own kitchen and your own closet and your own calendar. Whether that's a physical or digital calendar, it doesn't matter. Didn't you see that picture in your head? Or didn't you think about, oh yeah, my calendar, my computer, or my closet, my kitchen? And you're thinking about your space. When you're thinking about your space, so the picture in your head is yours, and then I give you some information about modifications you could make that may make it more organized, you can immediately go, oh, that's a good idea. I should try that. Or no, mine's better than that. Or I've already done that. Like, you immediately do all of those things. Whereas for me, when I do sit down and watch a video, because I'm not a visual learner, I see that as the done picture that I then need to match in my house. And I may not have that organizer or that size kitchen or that many clothes or that app to organize. And then I get hung up on the aesthetics of that room versus the function of the organizing that's being discussed. So that is why I prefer audio. The second kind of learner, which I think is actually everyone, are kinesthetic learners. these are the kids in the classroom that are tapping their feet and, you know, like, can I get a drink of water? Can I get another drink of water? And they're doodling little notes everywhere because they need to move. Like, they need to move when they're being instructed, and they learn best by actually doing. And frankly, I think we all learn. Who do you know that doesn't learn best by actually doing whatever the thing is? I don't know anyone who doesn't really cement their understanding by doing. But some people, they really need to do things first. They're hands-on learners. And in the Organize 365 products, you're the people that are in the community sharing, looking at what other people have done, wanting to do things with other people, like doing the workshops together, doing the co-working time together, doing the retreats. You'll hire the in-home professional organizer so you can do it with them and watch how they do it so then you could do it the same way. You love the physical planner and the physical products because there's something to do. There's a place to put this. There's an instruction manual for how to do that. And you love the real life examples in the courses because you're like, okay, so that's how she did her silverware drawer. She says, get all the silverware out. Okay, I see all of my silverware. All right, I'm going to sort it. I'm going to put it back in. And so that kinesthetic part of doing the organizing is when you may be listening or watching the video and you're like, I don't know if that's going to work. But then when you actually put everything on the counter, you go, oh, I get it now. Like, it's when you're in the process of doing it, that it clicks. It doesn't click in the video. It doesn't click in listening to it. It clicks when you do it. So some benefits for you about how you can implement kinesthetic organizing into organizing. Well, first of all, it's all kinesthetic, but also read how others are organizing that space inside of the community and be okay with redoing areas that you already have organized. Now, everyone is going to reorganize areas three times because the first time, you're going to make some progress. And you know how I say it takes three times through any space before it's truly organized. For kinesthetic learners, especially, it's going to take three times through because the first time you're doing it, that's when you're actually getting the learning. You're not implementing what you understood from the video or from the auditory. You're like literally looking at your own stuff and in the process of doing it, that is when it is clicking. So because it is clicking as you're doing it, you can't possibly get it all the way to done. So be okay with the fact that 120 days from now, you're going to redo the silverware drawer. But when you do it this time, you have the learning from the first organization experience to capitalize on. And I think just this is a good time to break and say that understanding your learning style is going to give you permission to really go deep into whichever learning style you have. So if it's auditory, I had a podcast I loved. I started all the way back at the beginning. I listened to them all again. It would take you a long time to do that in Organize 365, but I know a lot of you do. And that is building your auditory bank so that when you do the organizing, you have so much more to go on. If you're kinesthetic, give yourself the permission of time and grace to know that you actually are going to have to take all three times going through most of these spaces because your learning happens in your doing. It is not going to be one and done. I never promise for it to be one and done, but I think you need to internalize and give yourself the grace to learn the skill, and you learn the skill through the doing. The third learning style is visual. These are people who definitely watch the video, the TV show. Nothing else is happening when the TV is on. They're sitting there, they're watching it, they're observing everything that's going on in that show. You learn great through visuals, through printables, through social media. Whenever we have little icons on there, like that really helps you get more organized. You love a checklist. Not only to check things off the checklist, because you can visually see the representation of the work that needs to happen or the steps that need to be accomplished in order to achieve that thing. You learn great through diagrams and you learn great through co-working time because you can watch other people doing what it is you need to be doing. So that visual is there while you're working. For me, I say I'm not. So I have a photographic memory. When I see a picture, I can still see it later. So the teacher that sent me to be diagnosed with dyslexia, it was a junior year test I took. And I had two instances that the teacher was like, okay, it's time for you to go see a specialist. The first one was when I turned in a paper and I said, I don't know the answer to number 5, but it's on page 35 under the picture of this in the third line. It's the fifth word. And she goes, you're not getting credit for that. I'm like, oh, all right. A couple months later, I went up and I turned in my test and, you know, I'm an audio person, so I'm always talking. And I probably just said it offhandedly as I'm handing in my paper because, you know, I was talking. And I said, this is, you know, this is a great conversation and everything that we had to write on, but he obviously was being converted to Catholicism. So I don't know why they call it a conversation. And the teacher just looked at me and she said, read the title of this poem or whatever it was. And the title was The Conversion of Bede. I was in Catholic school and he was being converted to Catholicism. I said, The Conversation of Bede. And she said, read it again. Conversation of Bede. She pointed to conversation. She said, look at that word and read it to me. I was like, conversation. She's like, we are referring you to Sylvan Learning Center. So off to Sylvan Learning Center I went. And she said, it's conversion. This word is conversion. I couldn't even see the word conversion. I mean, it had a C and a V in it. So it's conversation, like all the other letters, whatever. So my mom takes me to Sylvan Learning Center. And they were like, okay, because I was 16. I mean, everybody there is so much younger. They're like, okay, we could give her our battery of tests. She's going to pass all of them. He said, but I'm going to give her a test that we would give her if she had failed three other tests, and I don't think she'll be able to take it. They're like, fine, give her that test. I was like, yeah, give me that test. They gave it to me. I failed with flying colors. They were like, yep, you have dyslexia. They're like 600 different kinds. So my parents said, what do we do? And he said, nothing. She's compensated this long. There is nothing to do for this at this point. This is in the 80s. We knew there was an issue when I could never spell right. Like my sixth grade teacher said, Lisa will have to carry a dictionary for the rest of her life. You guys, a dictionary does you no good when you don't know what the word starts with. My dad bought me a Franklin speller. It was like, it looked like a little calculator and you could type in a phonetic word and it would tell you how to spell it. And so my dad got it for me. It was really expensive. It was like $150 or something. We didn't have $150, but I was so bad at spelling. And I was like, Dad, it's broken. And he's like, how is it broken? I was like, well, I typed in this word. He goes, how did you spell it? So I told him, he's like, that's not even phonics. I remember being in college for teaching kids and they were like, that's when I learned phonics. I learned phonics in college still. Not very good at phonics. I don't see it. So I am visual, like I could do puzzles until the cows come home. I can visually memorize things, but I'm not a good speller. And so you can have different categories of each of these learning styles that are strong and other ones that are weak. And trust me, I have tried to grow the spelling gene. It's just not even in my brain. It's missing. That one is just missing for me. And that's okay. You don't have to be strong in all of these. Just know which ones are your strengths and then which ones are your secondary. So if you are a visual learner, then that is going to be really helpful for you to put the checklist for the Productive Home Solution on your refrigerator, like the 100 days that are in the current planner now, or when we get to the new planner in 2023, there are going to be checklists for each category. If you're organizing personal or if you're organizing family, go ahead and make a copy of it or tear it right out of the planner and stick it right on the refrigerator. That is going to keep you going. It's going to help hold you accountable and it's going to give you some structure for you then to do the tasks. For the Sunday basket has a checklist, a weekly checklist, and it has a planning sheet associated with it in your dashboard. Print those out by the dozen. Keep them in a slash pocket in your Sunday basket. Grab one every single Sunday and use that to guide you through planning your next week. So definitely use those checklists. This is an idea I came up with. If you're making a checklist, add emojis to each of the things on your list. So I have an app called AnyList, and I have in there everything I want to do on Saturdays in order to keep our household running. It's in addition to my Sunday basket, so I don't forget, like give the dogs their flea and tick medicine or whatever. So Saturday morning, I look at this checklist, and I have to order baby gates right now. So I would be at work, I'll just add that to that checklist and then I'll check this checklist as part of my Sunday basket time. Well, on that checklist, I have a little picture of a basket. It says Sunday basket. A little picture of laundry and it says laundry. And what is the third one? Bill pay, a little dollar sign and then bill pay. These are three things I do every single week, no matter what. And they're at the top of my list. And they have little emojis next to them. And that just reminds me, oh yeah, Sunday basket, laundry, bill pay. I have to do those three no matter what. And then I have a little section under that that has a bunch of stars and it says goal. So underneath that are all the things I've thought about that I might do. And I can reorganize that list on Sunday. I just start pulling things up to the top. And then my job is to get everything done in that app at the top before I hit that goal line. And then once I hit that goal line, I'm allowed to be done for the week. So that's another way that I organize. So that is a visual way of organizing my to-do list, and adding those emojis to the things that are done every single week, add more weight to them and help me see that list as more of a picture than just a list of words. And then lastly, highlighting things. As a visual learner, when you are reading or doing anything that is printed, highlighting is really going to help you because you will see those highlighted words. So in any workbook that you have, in the Productive Home Solution Planner, any printables that you print out, go ahead and highlight them. Like, highlight all of your books. All of my books on my bookshelf have highlighting. And recently, I've started highlighting using our highlighters and getting more organized. I'm reading some factual books, basically putting myself through my own PhD. I've ordered all of these books about the history of homemaking and the history of home economics and gender equity at home, all these nerdy books that I'm reading. And I can highlight, but I'll end up highlighting the whole book. So what I've now done is any book that is referenced in a book that I might want to read, I highlight in pink because that's like networking or an idea of how to rabbit trail into the next iteration of whatever I am reading. I highlight in green anything that is pertinent to this book, and then on and on. I don't have my colors totally solidified. I think blue, I highlight anything in blue that I think our team needs to know from this book that would influence and make better the products and services that we have. So now I read books and I highlight in multiple colors. Often, because I'm auditory primary, I listen to the book first, and then if I love it and see a lot of applications, I buy the physical book, and then I read it, like I skim read it, how I do, and I do all this highlighting, and then that way I'm able to pull the information out. So that leads to our last kind of learning, which is reading and writing. People who have a primary reading and writing learning style love to read. I mean, love to read. You're the person that they were like, stop reading. You have to go to bed. Stop reading. You took a book everywhere. Like, you love to read and you love to write and you love words. You see every single spelling error that I make, probably. Oh, no. But you love reading and you like note-taking. And do not stop note-taking. It is okay to rewrite your lists and your goals over and over and over again, because this is how you learn and this is how your brain really remembers, yes, this is something that I want to do. You also like to reword main ideas and principles after you've taken notes. So you learn by rewriting those concepts. And then you organize information in different spreadsheets and Word documents. And you take these ideas and you keep moving the words around. And in moving the words around, that is how you really internalize the learning. So for Organize 365, you're going into the dashboard and you're reading the blog posts from 7 years ago, which were really well written. And you're reading all of those and you're looking at the pictures associated with that. And then you're going and you're finding the podcast show notes and you're reading the summaries there. You're reading every newsletter that comes out. You're like, oh, okay, this is where we are in our organizing energy. You really like all of those words and you organize that way. So when you put all of this together, you get deeper and deeper understanding. So even though I'm not a good speller, I love reading and I really like writing. And because I have that visual component of being able to see a picture in my head, even after it is gone, the way that I got through college was I used note cards. And I would take white note cards and I would chunk the information that I had to learn for whatever class into different colors. So let's say I was taking a test on, I don't know, home organization. The chapters were personal organization, family organization, storage organization, and paper organization. I would give each of those sections a color. And then I would do the note cards by color. So I'd have all the personal organization would be pink and all the family organization would be blue. All storage organization would be purple and all of the paper organization would be green. And I would write my note cards in those colored pens. And then on the other side, I would just put in black ink, I would say family organization. And then I would have to quiz myself, like, what is family organization? Then I flip over the card and I would see in pink everything that it was. I am such a visual processor, like I see things perfectly, that if I made my note cards in two different sittings and my handwriting was slightly off, when I quizzed myself through my own note cards, I would know the answer because of the way I had written the word. I mean, bizarro. So whenever I would rewrite my note cards so that I would trick myself to actually learning the information. So I actually did all three. I did three of the four learning styles in college, except for the listening to it and the talking part, which had I known I was audio, that would have been better. So I did the kinesthetic of writing and quizzing myself. I did the visual of memorizing the index cards, and I did the reading and writing of redoing those index cards over and over and over again. So if you think back to when you had to study for a test or the highest level of school that you had, how did you get through that? That will help you with what kind of learning style you have. And what we tend to do is default to whatever the teacher who is teaching us, their preference, because that's usually how they teach, and that's usually how they evaluate us. And so then we need to conform to that teaching style. You don't have to do that at home. It's your house. You can learn however you want. Organize 365 gives you every single modality of learning. So take the one that is the best for you and then move on to the next one. So I'll leave you with one last story of learning for me. In college, I did needlepoint, cross-stitch needlepoint, because I'm kinesthetic and a busybody and I've got to keep going. And I just want to listen to the lectures, right? So I'm in class and I would sit all the way at the back because I'm needlepointing. So it almost looks like I'm not paying attention, right? Like you should be sitting there, eyes on the teacher, writing the notes. But if I did that, then I didn't hear half of what the teacher said. So I would sit in the back and I would needlepoint and then I would get the looks because can you imagine? Can you imagine really? An 18-year-old, like a grandma in the back of the classroom, needle pointing. It's totally what I was doing. And so halfway through that semester, I was like, okay, I'm tired of people looking at me. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take notes. And I ended up failing that class where I was doing just fine before I did that. Because when I would then go to take the test at the beginning of the semester when I had been needle pointing and I would read the questions on the test, I literally in my head could see where I was in my needle pointing project when that was discussed in the class, and I'd be able to answer it. When I took the test after I had sat there and taken notes, it looked like I was a student. I failed out of the class. Like it did not work for me. So give yourself the grace to learn as an adult learner the way that you are uniquely wired to learn. All of these learning styles are great. All of them aid in making a more rich, well-rounded experience in learning, but the primary one, your primary learning style, if you squelch that one and think, oh, I should learn best through videos or I should learn best through listening. If you're not a podcast listener, you're going to miss a lot of this. It would be better for you to just read the show notes and go over into the course and watch the videos and go into the community and ask the questions. So really hone in on what is your learning style and how can you best grow in your own learning? Because next week, I'm going to teach you how to set up your household like a classroom, and we need to know what your learning style is so that we then can find out what your family members' learning style is.